welcome to The Art of Story. I'm Adam Argo. I'm a writer, director, story artist, and the author of Story by Numbers, a deep dive into story structure, character, and theme. I'm excited to announce my Scene Structure Intensive on Saturday, April 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is going to be a live online event where we deconstruct the mechanics of a scene and mine it for subtext. After this intensive, you'll take control of your scenes and give them the emotional punch you want. This will be a two-hour live presentation with a Q&A. So registration opens Tuesday, April 2nd at 10 a.m. Now, the last intensive that we had, we sold out in half an hour, so you won't want to miss out. It'll be a fun, dynamic, interactive event. Hope you can join us. Today, we're going to be looking at page one of your screenplay. Page one is your first impression. You want to make sure that every word, every line, every space represents the best of what you can do. Every single page should reflect your best writing. But your page one will be used as a ruler against which everything else you do is measured. Remember, you're writing for readers who don't want to read. So the key is make it an easy read. Let's look at some specific things that we do want to have on our first page. So first of all, we want to show that we understand the craft, demonstrate that we're thinking cinematically, lure the reader, and use spectacle. Now let's go into each one of those elements. Show that we understand the craft. So this comes down to, first of all, writing economically. At a glance, you can usually tell if a screenwriter knows what they're doing. This also means solid formatting. Your slug lines are clear. Your screen direction is sparse. You don't spend a lot of time with art direction. What a lot of people miss is that the screenplay format is designed so that one page equals 1 minute of screen time. A lot of people who cheat and try and jam too much information or too much description onto the page are not representing the actual cinematic experience. When you read the script, you should feel like you're watching the movie. Okay, secondly, demonstrate that you're thinking cinematically. This ties back to feeling like you're watching the movie when you're reading the script. That means using active verbs that describe visual actions. Also, thinking in shots and sound design. This is really important. It's probably the most important thing that people miss a lot. This is a mistake a lot of newer writers make, is they tend to want to show off their prose and get a little too poetic. When the truth of it is screenwriting really is about being clear, specific, getting the imagery across, which usually means that you're thinking in shots. And we're going to go into that a little bit when we look at these specific examples. And then also avoid unfilmable. An unfilmable is usually something internal that the character is thinking about or processing that you haven't taken the time to visualize. Now, an unfilmable is something like when we're introducing a character and he says he leans over to his brother. Now, an audience member doesn't know what the relationship between two characters are. If you want to convey that they're brothers and you only convey that in screen direction, the audience will not know that. And then three, lure the reader. The page one in particular is about creating mood and then using tension. Tension is where you set up some sort of conflict or some sort of impending consequence. And that lures us. We're wondering if the consequence, basically, we're wondering if the other shoe is going to drop. Most of entertainment is training the audience to think that something is about to happen. Give them just enough information that they want to know more.
Would you like to know more?
If you're just presenting everything out, just throwing it at the audience, you're not allowing them to participate in the scene. This is something I've learned from a lot of great storyboard artists in particular, is the way you frame the information, and also really good directors, the way you frame a shot gives us just enough information to want us to see what's just beyond the frame. That's where a lot of the tension lives. And then also, usually by the end of the first page, you want to give just a little bit of payoff. So great storytelling is setup and payoff. That doesn't mean that you need to end the scene on page one. If you have some sort of turn or some sort of payoff, you're telling us that you know how to structure this so that we've already invested a little bit of time. You've given us a taste of what you can do as a writer, but you're also going to pay off more later. And then perhaps the most important thing when it comes to luring the reader, by the time they get to the bottom of the page, you want them to want to know what's going to happen next. What happens next is the most sacred question in story. And then finally, we want to use spectacle. Now, a spectacle is usually some sort of imagery or some combination of sound design and visuals that arrests our attention, that create curiosity in us. We want to engage it. We want to know more. That's really the key. It's not just the presentation of beautiful imagery, but the reason why we want spectacle is a spectacle is a kind of invitation into the story. For example, I've read a lot of scripts where we jump right in the deep end and we have characters who are dealing with powerful or difficult emotional experiences. They're feeling heavy feelings. Now, the truth of it is when we're first introduced to a character, we don't have an emotional investment in them. They're virtually strangers. And when you meet somebody who's going through an emotional time, you might feel some sympathy for them. But remember, we want to invite people into an empathetic experience, which means you want to give to the audience. You want to reel them in. If you jump into an emotional deep end with a character right away, most of the time it's pretty off-putting. We don't feel a connection with these characters, and you're requiring us to emotionally invest or to show patience for somebody who's going through something rather than giving us a reason to care.
You have no idea how long I've been waiting to hear a kind word.
Think of it like a conversation. If you go in and meet someone at a party and you start talking about childhood traumas. I've
been all alone since mother died, so.
Well, I'm just talking to you.
Talk later.
Right off the bat, that person at the party is going to say, I'm very sorry for you, but they're not going to want to necessarily get to know more.
I think the new girl is an emotional vampire. They're an advanced form of energy vampire. They feed off of pity.
Okay, so recently I sent out a request for people to submit their page ones, and I got some amazing submissions. So today we're going to be going over our first one. It's called The Order of the Nine Seals, and it's written by Andrea Nocchetti. I'm not sure if I'm butchering that, and I apologize if I am. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read the script exactly as it is, and then I'm going to review it and deconstruct it as if it was a live consult. First of all, I want to thank you, Andrea. You're the first one to submit, and that takes a lot of bravery. Exterior, Tuscan countryside, night. A full moon shines down on rolling hills, a slice of heaven, where an Alfa Romeo Giulietta zooms along a dirty road, dematerializing into the underbrush. Caption: Mugello, 22 miles from Florence. Exterior, wood, clearing, night. The wind howls through the boughs of the shrubs. The dancing leaves settle upon the Alfa Romeo parked within a clearing. Behind the underbrush, hunting boots pound on the ground, etching their imprints like indelible brands. Interior, car, night. A 27-year-old young man's hand glides between the thighs of a young girl in her early 20s. Their bodies entwine in the back seat of the car. Oblivious to the world around them, they fail to spot an armed stranger in the rearview mirror. Bang, bang, bang! The gunshots silence the cricket song, shattering the rear window of the car. The killer takes down the two young people without giving them a chance to realize it. Exterior, wood, clearing. Night. He drags the girl's body into the clearing. The car's headlights illuminate her face. Genuine, innocent. Her forehead and hair soaked in blood. The killer shines a flashlight onto the victim's genitals. The two men wearing pitch black robes emerge from the vegetation. One clasps an urn in his hand. The other, wearing sterile gloves, crouches over the corpse. This was a smooth read. It was well composed. It's well written in the sense that I open up the page and right off the bat, you see a lot of space. You see it's sparse writing. It's clear and it moves really smoothly. And then on top of that starts with a spectacle. So this is solid structure. It starts off with all sorts of flashy, sexual, intense images, and it ends with a murder. And then on top of that, it ends with a great cliffhanger. So I'm totally fascinated. I want to know who these two strangers are. And the thing that really gets me is the urn in the hands. Like, so something about the urn tells me that this is something more. It's just this unusual detail that gives me that some idea that maybe this is kind of ritualistic or there's something more to it. Actually, the two details that I like the most are the urn clasped in his hands and then two men wearing pitch black robes emerge from the vegetation. So the pitch black robes kind of suggest there's maybe like a cult element to it. That's a lot of fun. I'm totally in. Like, definitely by the time I reach the end of that page, I definitely want to know what's on the next page. Structurally, this is already engaging. Let's dive into criticism just a little bit. Now, the nice thing is this is actually really, really well written. Just you open it up and right away you get a sense that this is going to be a quick, smooth read. So most of the feedback I'm going to be giving is kind of next tier. The nice thing is there's solid structure and it reads smoothly. That's the biggest first kind of red flags I'm looking for. And these definitely don't have any of those red flags. Let's address formatting and also think about how we can make this truly cinematic or dramatic. The first thing, formatting wise, Tuscan Countryside Night, excellent. Full Moon Shines Down a Rolling Hill, A Slice of Heaven, where? And I love M-dashes. M-dashes tell me, okay, there's going to be more. It's also a great way to break up a structure or break up a sentence fragment to really punctuate quick staccato moments. Now, formatting, a caption is what you would see on screen to go along with dialogue. So I think what you want there is a super, and a super is comes from superimposition or superimpose the text over the image. And because of that, there's no need to put the M dash at the end, and I wouldn't underline it either. The underline is, you've already called it out by using the super tag with a colon. Okay, exterior wood clearing. I don't know why you have that comma in there. Wood clearing. You could just say clearing in the woods. The night howls through the boughs of the shrubs.
Boughs.
I'm not sure that shrubs have boughs necessarily.
Boughs.
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 Those tend to be limbs of a tree. Behind the underbrush, hunting boots pound in the ground, etching their imprints like indelible brands. Okay, so that's where it got a little bit confusing. I might try something like... The thing that is they're sneaking up on them, so I'm not sure they would be pounding on the ground. But what you're trying to do is create tension. The thing I like is the imagery of some sort of boots in the forest. So you're telling us that they're not alone in this clearing, and I love that. Etching their imprints like indelible brands. That I have no clue what that means. I'm thinking that you're meaning that it's leaving footprints in the ground. I might try something like hunting boots wade through the shrubbery.
A shrubbery! A what?
Again, I'm not even sure. I like the fact that this is, I like the fact that this introduces some element that they're not alone in the woods, but as soon as we see hunting boots, we're already telling them, we're telling the audience that they're killers or some creepy thing is in the woods, and we're already saying that it's human. That's why I'm kind of wondering if we just want to establish the scene, get rid of the hunting boots altogether. The wind howls through the shrubs, that creates tension. So we're saying that nature is surrounding them, and there's this kind of this ominous feel. Dancing leaves settle upon. I'm not a big fan of upon. Settle on the Alfa Romeo parked in the within the clearing. Good with that image. Okay, interior car. So up till now, we've just said Alfa Romeo. If we mean interior car, just let's be consistent with that. The Alfa Romeo. Romeo. Okay, a 27-year-old young. Okay, so this gets into introduction of character. Now, we want to activate the hand, which I love this. You're activating the hand, so you're implying that this is a close-up shot of a hand on a young lady's thigh. So let's just take it. Male hand glides between female thighs. Okay, so that's a very provocative image. So what we want to do is imply the close-up. So I'd find a way to kind of activate him so we have a name, a tag. A young man, 23. And now young woman. We want to make sure that is very clearly young woman. Say early 20s. So we'll say that's, you know, we'll say 22 and then 27. It's passionately. Their bodies entwine in the backseat of the car. Okay, great. So we've got the male hand glides between the female, implying the close-up shot. We see young man, 27, and young woman, 22, kiss passionately. So we're introducing the characters, and the reason why we don't want to say young girl is because this is an adult woman, and you're not trying to say that this man is a pedophile. Their bodies entwine in the back seat of the car. Oblivious to the world around them, I don't think we need that. So while they're in the middle of making out, they also failed to do their taxes that year, but we don't need to include that here. An armed stranger in the rear view of a mirror. An armed stranger passes through the rear view mirror. Boom. Okay, so we're getting, see how nice and smooth this reads. It's very clear. It's very specific. Also notice every single shot is on its own line. A male hand glides between female thighs. A young man, 27, a young woman, 22, kisses passionately. So that's one shot, then another. Their bodies entwined. That implies a third shot, probably a little bit wider. And then an armed stranger passes through the rearview mirror. Now, we're not seeing the gun. All we're seeing is probably some silhouetted figure. So I'd probably say something like simple, a silhouetted figure. Now, I do like the way you're using the all caps. So the old convention is that you would use all caps when it comes to sound effects in the screen direction. So it kind of draws attention for the sound design. Later, when I was working with a different producer that strongly recommended using kind of Damon Lindelof's approach to screenwriting, he uses all caps in ways to kind of punctuate things that if you're kind of just briefly reading over the script really quickly, like skimming, those capitalized words are going to grab your attention, saying this image needs to happen. So that silhouetted image, that silhouetted figure is a great choice to all caps it. Then we hear bang bang. Okay. I like the M-dash there. I'm not sure we need it here. So if we put M-dash at the end of a sentence, we're implying something big is about to happen. It's kind of saying it's cutting off. It's abruptly interrupting a shot. And we don't need 3 exclamation points. The gunshots silence the cricket's song. I love that idea. Introducing the cricket song at this point. If you want to say that they go silent, you probably want to mention that there's cricket song earlier on. So probably, for example, in this, the wind howls through the shrubs, the dancing leaves. Howls through the shrubs. Cricket song. Chirp. Now, this is also a great opportunity to build some tension. If you say cricket song chirps, so we're saying that it's kind of this growing, rising set of noise. And this might be something to play with. You know, you can feel this out and decide if you want this for your tension. But what if you, as they're making out, bodies entwine, cricket song goes silent. It cues to the audience that something is about to happen. But they're so absorbed with their intimacy that they fail to hear the cricket song go silent. Silhouetted figure passes through the rearview mirror. Now this is going to be quick staccato description of action, shattering the window of the car. How about we just say window shatters? We're inside the car, so that's the only window in the area. Okay, the killer takes down the two people without. Okay, now you've just introduced the killer. Before you used armed stranger and then you use the tag the killer. So if you're introducing the character, which before silhouetted figure is not the introduction of a character, it's a feature. So we want to say the window shatters, depending on how graphic you want to go, the two young people without giving them a chance to realize it. Okay. So of course those are all, that's an unfilmable without giving them a chance to realize it. Of course they didn't realize it. They were in the process of getting hinky. So the back window shatters, maybe depending on your rating you're going for, blood sprays or brain matter splatters across the back seat. Okay, and then of course if you want to be more graphic, depending on the tone. So right off the bat, you know, we're still using a nice solid economy. Cricket song goes silent, builds tension. Silhouetted figure passes through the rearview mirror. Nice. Bang, bang, bang. Builds up to a moment. Gives us a little bit of a breath. That's what I like about that idea of the cricket song goes silent. Back window shatters. Blood sprays, braised grain matter. Okay, so another thing. Countryside, Tuscan night. This one, you can either write continuous or because we're just cutting to the inside and we're going to be cutting back and forth interior, exterior, it's fine just to do interior Alfa Romeo. Now, something I like to do, everybody's different, but I do like bolding the slugs just because it really makes it pop. When you glance at it, you're like, okay, there's clearly a slug. There's a slug. We know that we're changing location. This is where I would reveal two figures dressed in black robes. And that's a really great hook too, because one of the things that really grabs me is the black robes. We'll say approach the car, both carry handguns, open the door. Now I'm leaving this, we'll say one opens the door. This is implying that this is all one shot, two figures emerge. So probably maybe kind of a tracking shot or a wide, because we want some tension. We might still want to be in close. So we'll track with these two figures, both carry handguns. That's a detail that will be revealed in the same shot. And one opens the door. So that ends with that action. Drags the body into the clearing. We don't quite know where he puts her. Shines a flashlight into the victim's genital. So maybe he lays her down. So in this shot, as he pulls it from the car, lays her down, we probably, you wanted to make a special attention. He drags the girl's body into the clearing. The car's headlight illuminate her face. Okay. I like that a lot. You can just throw in headlights because that's the only, we don't have to put car because that's the only thing that has headlights. Headlights illuminate her face. Now, innocent and genuine. Genuine is kind of a character observation. Innocence, also a character observation. I think what you're going for is probably saying that she's young, vulnerable. Innocent, I think innocent's fine. Soaked in blood. That's great. Okay, so you already got that. Innocent. Now, we don't need to go into a pronoun there. You can just say forehead because we're already talking about her face, forehead and hair soaked in blood. Because this is still describing the same person, I'm fine with an M dash there. For me, one of my favorite details was this urn, because I don't know what they're going to do with the urn, and it implies that they're doing that. This is going into some kind of ritual thing. So I want to see if they can, we add this little detail, woman's head. Okay. So that right there is saying, okay, this is going somewhere. I don't know what they're going to do. This detail of shines a flashlight onto the victim's genitals. So right off the bat, if you're going to be showing the genitals, that's going to be turning this into a rated X film. Usually you want to avoid that, but if that's, you know, if you're going for an art house thing, more power to you. I recommend, if you're just implying that he's shining the flashlight but we don't see the genitals, we might suggest something. Pulls the body from the car, lays her down, headlights illuminate her face, innocent forehead soaked. Now, if that's a plot point that he shines a flashlight on the victim's genitals, then we can try and find a way to put that on there. But the thing that really grabs me for this first page is hooded figure one. Two hooded figures, press in black robe, dressed in black robes, approach the car. Both carry handguns. One opens the door. They pull the young woman's body from the car, lays her down, plural, lay her down, headlights illuminate her face, innocent, forehead, if there's an M dash, lowercase, forehead and hair soaked in blood, hooded figure one, places an urn next to woman's head. Yeah, that detail alone, I'm like, okay, I don't know where this is going, but I definitely want to know what's going to happen. So I'm definitely turning the page to find out what's going on. So let's look at this real quick. Like, this was already really effectively written. This is a fantastic, this might be a draft too. This is written a little bit better than a first draft. It automatically read really smoothly. These opening lines are really great. You're thinking cinematically. This is a fantastic first approach. So most of my recommendations, this little bit of formatting here, young man, 27, and young woman kiss passionately, their bodies entwine. But you can see how this is a little more economic. And again, I was being a little nitpicky. I think this was already a very successful script page. But I think these details add a lot more and also really land on this really interesting punch. The hooded figure one places an urn next to the woman's head. Okay. So let's look back at what we want from a scene. We want to show that we understand the craft. This clearly does. We want to demonstrate that we're thinking cinematically. We start with a wide shot. We go into, we establish the tension, the mood. We see, a high kind of sexual scene with some sort of looming dark figures in the shrubbery. Right off the bat, I'm intrigued. I feel like something's about to happen. This is definitely going somewhere. So we're definitely luring the reader. By the time we get to the end, urn next to the woman's head, I definitely want to know what's going to happen on the next page. And you're using lots of spectacle. Now, if I have any criticism with the overall structure is because we never get any kind of interaction other than just pure sexual interaction between the young man and the young woman, we don't emotionally invest too much in the characters. They are spectacle. Even just some line or some little character moment would make us invest a little bit more in the character. Like in particular, at the end, the headlights illuminate her face, innocent forehead, and hair soaked in blood. It kind of provokes our sense of pathos. Like we feel bad for her. We feel like this is really sad that it's happened to this young woman, but it's not quite a sense. It's not quite the same as like we're getting any sense of losing a character, which again, that works. We do have a spectacle. There's real tension. And to me, the really interesting thing is, you know, we've seen kids making out, they get murdered, like 1,000 times. That's kind of the opening for a lot of different, like serial killer movies. What was really interesting about this is two figures in robes emerge from the shrubs and they're carrying an urn. Right off the bat, I want to know where this is going. This feels like it's some sort of like cult movie, which is a lot of fun. So really great work. I hope this helps. So I've got quite a few page ones that have been submitted. This is what we're going to do. We're going to kind of dive in and we're going to use these as examples. Thank you, Andrea, so much for submitting. This was a really great example. This is very good writing to begin with. And I think this kind of just took it to the next level and gave it a little bit more of a polish. And again, I would still want to reread this and to really know if we need to rewrite the overall structure. If it's working structurally, we'd have to read more of the script or the entire scene or the entire script ideally. But definitely just from this opening page, taking it to this polish, I definitely want to read the rest of the script. This is a really, really nice read. This is a deep dive into the page one. If you want to submit your script and have me review it, go to cinematicore.com. Also, I hope you can join me for the Scene Structure Intensive. It's going to be Saturday, April 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I hope you can join me. Thanks for watching The Art of Story. We'll see you next week.
You've got a story inside you, a screenplay no one has ever thought of, a novel you've been rolling around inside your coconut for years. Maybe you wrote a few pages and stalled out. Maybe you even wrote a whole draft but don't feel confident it's any good. Or maybe you've been writing draft after draft after draft and slamming into writer's blocks or dead ends or wandering into the weeds. Maybe you just have a few scenes centered around some dope high concept, but you don't know how to develop a character, much less construct a plot that would generate a character arc. Maybe all you have is some simmering spark of an idea, just a simple desire to write a story. This book is for you. Story by Numbers is a step-by-step process. It gives you the tools to construct a plot that fleshes out your story with characters so real, so compelling, so multidimensional, you begin to wonder if you're possessed. Story by Numbers is composed of 3 parts. Part 1 gives you an overview of the 4-act structure, 24 plot points, 8 sequences. Part 2 is a 35-question examination of your story that will guide you through developing and outlining your novel or screenplay into the 4-act template. Part 3, well, that's just next level dope shit. This isn't just another book on theory. Story by Numbers is a diagnostic toolkit for developing and fine-tuning your story. You'll also want to pick up the Story by Numbers workbook. For each story you're writing, you'll need a journal to organize your ideas. The Story by Numbers workbook is a companion notebook that walks you through the process as you outline your story and guide you through each phase of development. From constructing your protagonist's internal drive, to plotting conflicts that expose character, to composing scenes that drive compelling stories. By the time you've completed your Story by Numbers workbook, you'll be ready to finish your manuscript. Whenever you ask a writer what it takes to write a good story, they usually say there are no rules. If you want to know what they really think, ask them about a novel or movie they hate. Immediately, they'll unload a litany of do's and don'ts so specific, so precise, you'd think they're citing commandments. We all know following a formula is what turns stories into zombified, hacky imitations of better stories. You don't want a formula. You want a process. A method composed of practical principles that breathe life into your concept. You don't want some bullshit magical key. You just want to know what works and what doesn't. Does your story resonate or not? Everyone knows there are no rules for writing a great story. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, here are the rules. Story by Numbers. Write more, better, faster, doper.